grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, the 5th verse. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Although there are still some 31 days in this year now so swiftly coming to a close, today, the first Sunday in Advent, is in fact the Church's New Year's Day. Today, the Church throughout the world begins another year of grace, and so the 17th century Lutheran pastor and poet Johann Olearius sings, "Again is come the new church year. Rejoice, all Christians far and near. Thy King, O Zion, comes to thee. Therefore rejoice eternally." Christ comes to us through the preaching of his word. Christ came to us in our baptism. Christ comes to us in the holy sacrament of his body and blood. And from ancient times, the Church has greeted his coming to us in the sacrament with those very same words as the crowds who greeted him on his entrance into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." The word Advent means coming, and during Advent we prepare for the yearly celebration of Christ's coming in Bethlehem. But the Advent season isn't some kind of make-believe in which we pray for Christ's coming as the child of Mary. That coming, of course, lies in the past. And so when in this Advent season we pray for Christ's coming, we're praying that he would come to us in this new church year as he has promised in the means of grace, in his word, in his sacrament. And our Advent prayers for his coming are also prayers that he would, as he has promised, come again in glory and bring to completion that work of love begun when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. There is a beautiful prayer now more than 400 years of old that beautifully brings together these three comings of Christ: his coming in lowliness at Bethlehem, his daily coming to us in the word and sacrament, and his coming again in glory. This prayer was written by Thomas Cranmer, who was the first Archbishop of Canterbury after the Reformation. He wrote it for the first English prayer book. And this is how that prayer reads. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light now in the time of this mortal life, in which thy Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility, so that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. When I was a little boy, I was greatly puzzled as to why the story of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday was always read on this Sunday 4 weeks before we even celebrated Jesus' birth. It really puzzled me. But eventually somebody explained it to me, and I can't really remember whether it was my parents or my pastor or my Sunday school teacher who explained that this story is read because of the words which say, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a foal of a beast of burden." These words, which St. Matthew quotes in his gospel, were originally spoken by the prophet Zechariah more than 500 years before the coming of Christ. And by quoting them, Matthew wants us to know that these words are now being fulfilled as Jesus enters Jerusalem and is acclaimed as the Messiah, the promised son of King David. But when that crowd greeted Jesus as King David's royal son, the crowd didn't know that the throne that awaited Jesus was the cross. Jesus comes. He comes to Jerusalem to be the Savior who redeems us through his coming, through his death. All through human history, kings have fled from their would-be murderers. We think of how King David himself fled from his son Absalom, who'd become a traitor. We think of how King Louis XVI of France and his wife Marie Antoinette fled, but their flight ended in capture. All through human history, kings have fled from those who wanted to kill them. There was only one king, Jesus, the King of Kings, who entered his royal city knowing full well what awaited him in obedience to his Father's will. To be sure, on the night when he was betrayed, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in agony, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But then went on to pray, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, and was obedient even to the death of the cross. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. He comes to be our Savior. He did that out of love for you, for me, for this whole sinful, death-bound world. For the Lord who comes to us again in this Advent season and through all our days is the Lord of mercy, the merciful King who did and suffered everything that needed to be done and suffered so that this whole lost and fallen world might live in the peace of his perfect pardon for all our sin. When today he again mysteriously yet truly feeds us with his holy body and precious blood, he's saying to each one of us, everything that needed to be done for your salvation, I have done. I have suffered all that you, by your sin, have deserved. I have taken on myself everything that is yours, your humanity, your sin, your anguish, your death. And I freely give you everything that is mine. And you are therefore, by my mercy, everything that I am by nature, God's beloved child, the heir of all his promises, the inheritor of his eternal kingdom of light and joy. The theme of this holy Advent season is this: behold, your King is coming to you, as he once came as the child of Blessed Mary, coming to you in this holy sacrament, and coming again in glory on that last and great day, to gather us all into that kingdom which in his love he prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.